And now the part of our show where we ask people who've accomplished great things silly questions to bring them down to our level. When people start tossing around terms like double and triple threat, and then have to start dredging up words like polymath, they are likely referring to Peter Bogdanovich. An established film journalist and scholar, Bogdanovich turned to writing and directing movies in the late 60s, bringing us such classics as Paper Moon and The Last Picture Show, which is on the AFI's list of the top 100 films of all time. He's published 14 books, and his career as an actor extends to his role as Dr. Elliot Kupferberg, the analyst's analyst on The Sopranos. And in some spare time, he recently recorded an album of himself singing standards. Peter Bogdanovich, you can now add silly radio news quizzes to your resume. Welcome.
Thank you. It's nice to be here. Thank you.
It's great to have you here. Now, you exploded onto the scene in the 1970s. How was it? How was coping with that success so early?
It's very, very uncomfortable because you don't know what's happening. I mean, you're used to failure. Suddenly something else is going on. You don't quite know what it is. They tell you it's success, but there's no handbook of how to handle it.
So what did you find yourself doing?
Mistakes.
Right.
I was also going with Sybil Shepherd at the time, which was much commented on.
Right. Made the news a bit, did it?
Yeah, because we were living together and we weren't married. And in that time, believe it or not, that was shocking still. Can you believe that?
It is shocking. I'm a little shocked. But tell me, was that before or after she dated Elvis? Or did she, in fact, date Elvis?
No, she dated Elvis while she was going with me.
What?
And how come that movie never got made?
Well, you know, the thing is, it didn't have a happy ending for Elvis because she chose me.
Yay!
Wow.
Oh, that had to feel great.
We had a bit of an argument about it once or twice, but it turned out all right.
You and Elvis did, or you and Sybil did?
No, I never met Elvis.
Oh.
Though he did come to see her one time downstairs at the apartment building where we were living. Which she described in her autobiography. I had no idea it had happened until I read it 30 years later.
Wow.
Memo to self, get that autobiography.
But anyway, I was going to tell you that during the 70s, during all this success and living with Sybil and so on, we ended up getting very bad press in the middle of the decade.
Oh, really?
Yeah, very bad. And Cary Grant, who was a friend of mine, called me up and he says, Peter, will you for God's sake stop telling people you're happy? And stop telling them you're in love.
Probably good advice.
I said, why, Cary? Because they're not happy and they're not in love.
Oh, that's tremendous dialogue right there.
I said, I thought the whole world loves a lover. No, don't you believe that.
Now, about the early 70s, I read that you had a chance to direct The Godfather, as did several other of your contemporaries, and you passed.
Well, that's a funny story because I didn't even know I was turning down The Godfather.
Oh, really?
I didn't find that out for 10 years later. when Robert Evans, who was the head of the studio, said, you turned down The Godfather. I said, I never turned down The Godfather. He said, yes, you did. You were the first person we offered it to. Oh, I said, oh, that was the time the guy called me and said, we're interested in you directing a mafia book. And I said, I'm not interested in the mafia. And that was the end of that.
that was that. Now, oddly, a decade or so later, you find yourself on The Sopranos.
Mm-hmm.
And you directed at least an episode of that, didn't you?
I did, yeah, and I was on it for 6 years. That was such fun.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Now you must pretty much take anything involving the mafia. You don't want to pass that.
That's funny. That's right, mafia, I'm there.
Let's talk about The Sopranos for a second. You've been in the business a long time. What would you attribute the massive success of that show to?
Well, I was just honored to be in it because it was such good material. You don't get that very often. Such a good cast, such good directors, and such great writing. But I think, really, it demystified the mafia. I think people said it was in the tradition of Coppola's pictures and Scorsese, but I disagree. I think it was exactly the opposite. It was... I mean, these people had kids who went to school, and they had mundane concerns like the laundry. I mean, it was about people, and they happened to be in the mafia.
You're right, and there's very little laundry stuff going on in The Godfather. There's a horse head in my bed. How am I going to get this stain out?
Vinny, Tony, bust that stain out.
Now, moving from television history to recording history, you've recently recorded an album of standards.
Oh, that's a footnote.
Well, it's a footnote I want to talk about for a second. Would you consider this more in the tradition of a Bernadette Peters and Bette Midler album of standards?
No.
Or more like a William Shatner thing, or somewhere in between?
How about Rod Stewart right in between?
Yeah, right at a Rod Stewart level.
Well, I don't have a big orchestra like Rod Stewart. I just have a piano. And we just did it for fun, you know. And I don't know that anybody... There might be burnings of it somewhere, but...
Any Elvis standards in there? Blue Hawaii, come on.
Make the world go away.
Right. Well, Peter Bogdanovich, we've asked you here to play a game we're calling...
You mean it's not named after Thomas Crapper after all?
That's right. We walk through our days using all kinds of common words and phrases without any idea what they mean. For example, when someone says something as easy as shooting fish in a barrel, it's because in the old days, fishing was really easy because fish lived in barrels and all you had to do was shoot. I don't know. But in any case, we're going to ask you three questions about the origins of words taken from the book I Didn't Know That. Get two right and you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on their home answering machine. Carl, who is Peter Bogdanovich playing for?
Peter is playing for Natalie Channon of Florence, Alabama.
All right, Peter,
well,
are you ready?
Natalie, I'm sorry. I'm not brilliant at this sort of thing.
Okay, first question. Your first word, to nag. Where does that come from? Is it A, from the term for an old horse, implying somebody who constantly whinnies? B, from the Scandinavian term used to describe the sound of rats gnawing on your roof? Or C, from a 19th century British politician, Frederick C. Nagel, who is known for lecturing opponents on their flaws?
Boy, that's not easy.
No.
I'll just go with a thought. Maybe it's three, the third one.
The Frederick C. Nagel.
Yeah.
All right, B is your answer. C is your answer. I'm sorry, the answer is B, Scandinavian term.
Yes. That was my second choice.
Well, yeah. During the Middle Ages, people who lived in houses with thatched roofs, which is everybody, had to endure the sound of rats chewing on their houses all night. The Scandinavians called that nagging.
I thought that Scandinavian rats went, nagga, 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 nagga.
I'm sure they do. Nagga.
Yes, with a little circle over the A.
All right, there are still chances here. Next question, the expression Charlie horse, referring to a pain or pulled muscle in the leg, is the term derived from A, the French King Charles, referring to the 17th century French monarch who limped, B, an actual famous horse named Charlie who limped, or C, an anatomical term, charahortix, referring to the muscle directly behind the kneecap, causing a limp.
Wow, I don't know. I'm going to guess three again.
You can go with C, an anatomical term, charahortix. Well, I would have guessed that one too, but I'm sorry, the answer was B. Charlie was a horse that used to work at Chicago's White Sox baseball park, and being old, he limped. Yes, right here in Chicago. Pretty soon, players who limped were called old Charlie horses, and then the limp itself got that name.
That's so much more interesting than C.
Yeah, I have to say it is. All right, let's move on to our last question. To eat humble pie, where does that phrase come from? Is it A, pies used to be considered to have magical properties. If you ate a rabbit pie, you'd be fruitful. If you ate ox pie, you'd be strong. So eating humble pie makes you humble. Is it B, it's actually umble pie. Umble being the intestines of a deer, left over from the good stuff. So, to eat humble pie is to be cast down low. Or is it C? There was a baker in 17th century London named Humble who was notorious for his terrible pies. So if you were reduced to eating his stuff, you knew you were out of luck.
These are very fun.
I don't know what to pick.
I don't either, and I'm staring at the answer.
I love that deer pie. It's funny.
Well, I have no idea. I would guess. I'm just going to guess the first one because it probably isn't bad, and I want to be consistent.
Right. So you're going to go with magical pies.
Yeah, magical pies. What the hell?
I'm sorry. The answer was B. Yeah. Umbel is the nasty bits of a deer.
Ew.
That's what's called a strikeout.
That's okay. That's once again, that's why we call this game Not My Job. Carl, how did Peter Bogdanovich do?
Peter's a great director. When he put it right, he struck out. No correct answers, so no prize for Natalie Channon.
Natalie, forgive me.
Oh, hey, when Elvis played this game, he won.
Peter Bogdanovich is a director, writer, and actor. He directed the acclaimed film The Last Picture Show, and he recently appeared as a psychiatrist on The Sopranos. You can see him in the new movies The Doorman and Humboldt County. Peter Bogdanovich, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Adam, thanks so much for having me. It's been fun.